sacarlo nada. ¡Sácalo!
The sun. I mean, you should see the main salon with waterbed and grand piano bolted to the floor. Double door freezer. It's even got a wine cooler. It keeps the wine at precisely 41 degrees. And when you turn those keys and hear those diesels saying, bloody, 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 I mean, it's enough to make your jeans fit tight. Sitting tall on a fly bridge. I got brassiers hanging off the outriggers. I mean, that thing is unbelievable. I took my honey on board. I said, baby, before you go below, and I handed her a loaf of bread. She said, what's this for? I said, this thing is so huge, you better drop crumbs or you'll never find your way out again. I mean, she couldn't believe it. She was playing with the entertainment sedan, you know, VCR. Rear projection TV. You know, it's got one of them 4-foot by 4-foot screens on it. Two Western Beach generators, providing enough power to light the city of Poughkeepsie for a whole weekend. I mean, this thing is teak, imported Belgian teak. I mean, dice. Even got a central vacuum system, which, if you're a sporting gent, you can put the hydraulics in there. Got a dice. The only problem is when the vacuum bag gets full, you know, you got to tell Captain Martinez to carry it very gingerly to the dumpster. You drop that bad boy and we're talking nightmare. And as I sit there, vodka gimlet in my hand, master of all that I survey, I think it's got twin 500-gallon tanks with transoceanic capabilities. I mean, you fill that bad boy up, it's like $1,500. You gotta be bold to have a boat like that. And then I look at the other end of the coin. That sailboat scum. Sweating on these horrible little things. Moving at 3 miles an hour. I remember one time I'm going along and I was cutting my way in between them, giving them a lot of room, and somebody yells over at me, hey, would you mind moving 100 yards off port? We're having a race. I said, race? Guys are moving 2.5 miles an hour. What the hell kind of race is this? A race of the living dead? And you know what else bothers me about the sailboaters? The way they'll anchor off the shore of a marina so they don't have to pay the $12 for the overnight fee. I mean, here they've been schwitzing along. You know, they take 9.5 hours, 92-degree heat to make a trip that you can make in a powerboat in about an hour and a half. And then they get to the marina, and they don't want to pay the $12 to tie up to a dock. You know, they can get out, stretch their legs. No, instead, rather than pay the $12, they anchor, you know, 50, 60 feet away from the gas dock. And then they climb into their stinking little rowboat. You'll see some horrible guy with baggy shorts on and skinny legs, always a beard, maggoty looking, with some hairy arm-pitted woman. And a dog. They always have a damn dog in there. Now you got the two people and the dog rowing in. All right, marina operators hate these people. I mean, pay the lousy $12, tie up to the dock. No, the man and the wife, they get in their rowboat with the dog. You know, so they can let the dog out and make a poopy. And then they have their little toiletries kit and they go ahead and use the shower or wash up in the bathroom. I mean, nasty. Nasty. And they get on my nerves, too. You know, I'm sitting at the dock. I pay my footage, whatever it is, you know. I pay my overnight fee. Hook up to the power system. Relax. You don't have to worry about the anchor. You're tied to a dock. You meet the marina people. They're nice. These sailboat scum, they're out there anchored off, and they come in their little... One day, it really got to me bad. So while they were in the bathroom washing out their armpits and the dog was taking a dump, I snuck over to where they pulled up their little rowboat on the beach, and I broke out my Black & Decker. I put the tiniest bit I could find on the end of that drill, and I put a couple holes in the bottom of the rowboat. I just said, And then I put another one right in the stern. Little ones, though, you know. Put one right under the... Then went running back to my... I got a fresh can of BE. And I sat on the stern of my boat to watch the fun. Sure enough, here they come out of the bathroom looking just as grubby. The dog looking a whole lot more relieved. They climb back in that stinking little boat. They start rowing out to their sailboat. Well, it's not. I'm watching. I'm just giggling to myself as I see that guy. All of a sudden, his eyes get wide. He starts rowing faster and faster. Before you know it, there's water right up to the brim of the gunnels. Next thing you know, that thing goes under. Yeah, my God. I thought to myself, holy jeez, I wanted to make him row a little faster, but I didn't think it would sink. Yeah. I mean, I undid the lines of my boat. I fired up both engines. I got them both going. I got over there just as quick as I could to save the dog. Yeah. I mean, the two of them were already face down in the water when I got there. And I said,
That's all right. No, I'm here to help you, fella. I'm here to help you. No way. That's all right. I'm going to help you. I'm going to... Yeah, just get on this back. Get on this floating guy's back. There you go. Atta fella. There's a fella. Come on. You like that. I rub you behind the ears, don't you? Huh? You like that. Huh? I saw the Coast Guard come, and I said, forget it. They're already history. I'm rubbing the door. Oh, this guy's. Yeah, you like it behind the ears? Yeah, that's a big fella. That's a good boy. Come on. Here. Let me feed you a little something. No, that's potato foie gras. I don't have any Alpo on board. I'm sorry. I know, but you'll like it better. Believe me, I didn't like it at first either. But, hey, Jason, it's an acquired taste. Yeah, there you go. That's it. Lap it up. There's a fella. I'm gonna like you. Yeah, I'm gonna like you.
Rocking with Grease, DC 101.
Buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Buddy, appreciate the help this morning. You've been out there running around doing duty.
I've been just scooting around.
Yeah. How about Dex working with us, huh? Bold, bulky.
It's great. Boldest team in the world right here. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. You're a hobbling man. I tell you what, 20 years old? You're a hobbling man.
Oh, yeah.
I want to, can I ask you a couple of questions about it? It's like a little test I have for you.
Sure, knock your socks off.
All right, if you like girls, raise your right hand.
You got it, right there.
Okay, now, leave it up there, okay? Now, if you like girls, raise your left hand. If you like kissing girls, raise your left hand.
You got me again. Here we go.
All right, keep them both up there.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you like lapping that thing, I want you to take the biggest, deepest breath you can. Now, if you like the feel of hydraulics on your tongue and doodads banging your chin, let it out.
Much your sides will ache, your heart will go
pit-a-pat. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Stand by, there's more in store from the one and only Grease Man on WWDC FM Washington, DC 101.
See who's there for 321-101. Hello.
Hey, Grease, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. How you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, listen, the statistic that you keep using that was also in the Washington Post of the prostitutes, 50% of them have AIDS.
The ones that were tested, yeah.
Yes, how do they come to this conclusion? They go out and test the prostitutes?
Yeah, they actually hired them. They went out and got a whole load of them to volunteer for this testing. And then they found that of the ones tested, 50% of them were reactive.
Why don't they just turn around and just get rid of them?
Well, they prosecute them. Prostitution's illegal if they find you. I mean, what do you mean get rid of them?
That's what I mean. Why don't they just go ahead and prosecute them?
Well, because prostitution's only a misdemeanor.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Just in D.C., or is that...
That's everywhere. For the most part, it's a second-degree misdemeanor, meaning that, at worst, you get a month in jail.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, so you don't use those girls, do you?
Oh, no, but I was just wondering was able to read the article in the Washington Post, and I was just wondering how in the hell did they come to that conclusion.
They tested them.
Okay.
So no more nookie with strange ladies in the night.
Oh, you got that right, Grease.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
See ya. Hello.
Hi, is this the Grease?
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could do me a favor and call my boyfriend for me.
What's his problem?
Well, in bed, he doesn't last very long.
Well, a lot of guys have that problem. I'm not going to call him about it. The guy feels bad enough as it is. If he's a little quick on the trigger, and I call him and harass him, and his friends recognize his voice, the humiliation may be too much. But perhaps if I relate a story that may help. Story about Estelle. Well, I was in the reverse role. You see, I can hang in there for quite a long time, but Estelle, it'd always be like 3 minutes, teeth would be clenching, eyes scrunched shut, and then she didn't want any part of me. Meanwhile, I was still at the starting gate, you know. I said, what do you mean? She'd say, oh, honey, let's smoke a camel. I said, I want to smoke a camel now. Let me at least achieve a Shangri-La. She'd say, oh, all right, go ahead, but hurry up.
I mean, what kind of encouragement is that? You know, you feel like you're,
what are you, timing me? Why?
Well, I finally went to a doctor because she wouldn't go. I said, doctor, I got a problem. You're not going to believe this, but, you know, I can go
a long time. I like to linger it out. You know, fast, slow. And my wife Estelle, I mean, 2 minutes, and she wants to push me away. He said, well, does she achieve Shangri-La? I said, yeah, that's the problem. She achieved Shangri-La, and then she doesn't want any part of it. He said, I tell you what, he said, do you own a gun? I said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. 357 Magnum, Smith & Wesson, Model 66, stainless steel. Bye. He said, spare me the specs, and here's what you do. Load that thing with blanks, hide it under the bed. Then when y'all are having sweet bliss, and you see she's about to shudder and have a Shangri-La, fire around. Blam! Fire around into the carpet. That noise will shock her, and that'll put off the Shangri-La until you're ready to achieve simultaneously. I said, buddy, I will give it a try. Day later, I called him. I said, doctor. He said, yes. Oh, yes, Mr. Grishmanelli. How did that remedy? Did you try it? I said, yeah, I tried it. He said, well, what happened when you fired the shot? I said, well, she bit my hydraulics in half and took a massive gas in my face.
The Grishman on DC-101.
One is my number. Let me snatch this bad boy up. Guys tell me that his wife has cut him off in the hobble department, is grumpy to him, is always complaining. Well, all right, buddy, let's get the facts. Maybe I can help you out on this thing. How long have you and your lady been married?
For a year and a half now.
A year and a half, and already got kids, and you thinking about a divorce or what?
No. Oh, no. She just acts grouchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that get on your nerves? Are you tempted to hit the silk?
Oh, okay.
All right, what's the number?
It's 301-428.
All right, yeah, lay that thing on me, baby. Where am I calling here? What, where am I dialing, buddy? Joni's her name, and your name is what, Jimmy? All right, buddy. What city am I calling?
It's Gettysburg.
All right. See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye. I mean, the guy's only been married a brief time, and already look at this. They're hating life, going through hell. It's 29 before 10 o'clock. This is DC 101. We'll find out. We'll get to the bottom. Let's see what this woman's problem is.
Hello.
Hi, Joni. How you doing? It's the Grease
Man.
Oh,
my God.
You don't sound grumpy to me. I was just talking to Jimmy. He asked me to call you. Is that okay?
Oh, my God. I guess so.
Jimmy told me you're grumpy lately. Ever since you had the baby, you're a little grouch.
I am. I know.
You don't sound it, though. You sound perky.
Oh, well, I'm surprised you called me. Oh, God, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed. You know what it is? I think you're only grumpy with Jimmy. With everybody else, you're probably pretty nice.
That's it.
And that gets on Jimmy's nerves real bad, too.
I know it does.
Because that really gets on a man's nerve. When your woman's grumpy and yet she sees somebody else and goes, oh, hi, how you doing? You just want to deck her one. So what makes you so grumpy, honey? What's wrong?
Oh, she bothers me every night.
Who bothers
every
you?
Every night.
Who
does every night?
He bothers you for what reason?
That's right, every night.
For what? For hobble?
Every yes.
So what's wrong with that? You're married. He's.
I know, but.
That's your wenchly duty.
God, we can't have another baby here.
Yeah, but we'll take precautions then. Get on the pill or have Jimmy bag it up or what?
Well, he should.
So you get grumpy? You mean he reaches for you in the night and you push him away?
Yes.
Why?
Yes, because it's every night.
So that's what it's supposed to be. You know how many women who trade places with you that have lackluster marriages with men that aren't even interested in them? Here you got a man that wants to holler with you every night and you push him away?
Yes. It's too much.
You don't enjoy it anymore?
No, it's not that I don't enjoy it.
What is it then?
It's too much. I'm tired. I have a headache.
What do you think it is that's giving you these headaches?
I have no idea. Him?
Him.
Could you do it every single night, all the time?
Yes.
No way.
Well, then the morning. I'm not a nighttime hobbler, but I'm a morning hobbler, and I can hobble almost every single morning. And then my honey's off, you know, I can get a middayer in there.
Oh, my gosh. That's just too much.
That's not too much.
5 o'clock in the morning. He wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning. No way.
What do you mean, no way?
I have to get up and take care of the baby all day. No way.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it is unbelievable.
Did you hobble a little bit more when you were dating?
Yes.
And this is what happens to a marriage. Look at this. You don't want to hobble at night. You don't want to hobble at 5. When do you want to hobble?
Well, every once in in a while, but not all the time.
What do you mean every once? I can't believe you, young lady. You have no sex drive, whatever. You are that's an unhealthy attitude. You're going to lose your man, you know.
Oh, well, he won't leave me.
Why not?
Oh, no, he won't.
You don't think you're that confident, huh?
That's right. He can't leave.
Why not?
Because he loves me. He couldn't even never do that.
Oh, so you got him just wrapped around your finger. You know what you are, honey? You know what you are? I can't say the word on the air, but I'll tell you this much. The word, what you are, rhymes with what a football team generally does when it's fourth and long.
Rocking with Grease, DC 101.
Listen to her squeaking.
I wonder if you could call someone for me.
Who?
She's pregnant, and it's her first baby.
Uh-huh.
And
is she excited?
She's cute.
Okay.
Her name is Debbie.
All right, geez, I'm making phone calls this morning. All right, what's her number?
It's 7.
All right, okay, very quickly now, huh? Just ask for Debbie.
Yeah.
And what's your name?
Christy. Yeah.
Okay, see you later.
Thanks, bye.
Bye. Some women talk so cute. Hi.
Let me dye that thing, huh? I mean, this is so sweet, you know. You're just a little feisty this morning. Don't take me seriously.
Can
I speak to Debbie, please?
Oh, my God, it's Grease
Man. Boy, you recognized my voice quick, didn't you?
Of course. Hold on a second.
All right. Put her on. My God, put her on. Where is that thing? I've done this baby thing. I'm getting a little burned. You know, these babies. I mean, what can you talk about with a baby? I think I'm a little under my, let's face it. They're still there.
Hello?
Hey, Debbie, how you doing?
I'm fine.
It's the Grease. Oh, God. Hey, you sound like a bit of an older model. How old are you, honey?
15.
Hey, come on now. You're having your first baby. How old are you?
31 and going on 29.
Are you really? Are you excited?
Very excited. I look like a little round ball.
Are you married? Well, you know,
you... Are you interested?
No, I'm already married. And very, very happily. So I just, you know, you never know. I get a lot of calls from people that are not married.
No. Happily married.
Good. And how long you been married?
For about 2 years.
Well, that's great. So you waited a couple of years, and you've had your fun with your husband, and now you're ready to begin your life as a mommy.
Yeah.
That's a hard question, I know, but... all right, well, why don't you take the time? Are you doing any prenatal stuff for the baby?
We're going swimming every day.
Oh, really?
Going swimming and eating a lot.
Are you turning into a big beefy hog?
You could say that. A little plucky if you're saying that.
Well, honey, what I'm saying is you shouldn't get too far out of whack because, you know, it's going to be very hard to shed that when you...
Well, this is going to be a big kid, as they say.
All right. I've heard that before. That's no excuse to be sitting there eating bonbons all day long.
Somebody sent me 10 pounds worth of chocolate yesterday.
Really? And I bet you're going to eat every day an ounce of it. Listen to her.
We got to hide it from me. We have to hide it, otherwise we'll all eat it.
I understand. You have a little bit of a cackle. I mean, I can see you in front of a cauldron. Listen, yes, I can see you in front of a cauldron. You know what you'd be? Why don't you say...
No, I'm really a very sweet person. This is...
I want you to say bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, and then laugh. And if you do it just right, you get the part, okay? I mean, all right, hold the phone up here. Tell me, let's see what's going on. Roll me some quiet music.
Ooh, that's nice.
Oh, I heard you. You're imitating me.
Yes.
I didn't think you could hear in there.
Oh, I hear very well. I don't know if you've heard the recent surveys, but a lot of times if you're talking to your baby before he's born, he can learn things. So mommy puts a Walkman on my belly at night and plays tapes so that I can learn. Like, I'm listening to a tape of Othello, and I know how to speak a little Spanish. ¿Cómo estás, señor?
Well, hey, that's pretty good. Muy bien there, little bonito.
Oh, you speak Spanish, too. ¿Dónde está el baño?
All right, let's come on. Enough with that already here with the baño here. I'll give you a baño and a gazaño.
Daddy, I gotta ask you, do people really eat light bulbs?
What do you mean, people eating light bulbs? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Well, the other night I heard Daddy say to Mommy, go ahead and turn out the light and I'll eat that man.
The Grease Man, DC 101.
And life. We are loving life at DC 101, and Dex just came in feeling bold and proud and bulky. That's his middle name, bold and proud and bulky. That's his claim to fame. Yes, we are shrieking. Shriek it is our game today. So how you doing this morning, Dex?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I feel good. I feel good. I'm standing by for Blessed Relief. We've been giving away the brand new U2 LP, Joshua Tree. YDB is going to be debuting that at high noon today, and then going to get a workout in. Today's chest and shoulders.
Yeah, well, I missed the workout this morning.
You did?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you feel guilty?
Oh, bro, I tell you, I feel terrible.
Just a little laughter last night, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, I know how that can be. I know how that can be. Of course, you know, like people always ask guys like you and me how we can face what we face. How we face the terror of shrieking, the terror of physical combat on the field. But remember when you and me used to be on that submarine together? People ask, how come you know Dexter Miller? What's he doing on your show anyway? Well, is that we did time in the military, and we were the two biggest guys on the sub. I mean, usually submarine guys, if you ever see guys that work on submarines, they're generally, you know, 5'6", 138 pounds. When Dex and I would meet in the corridor of that subway, it's like we'd have to stop and one of us would have to go back. We'd meet there and say, hey, you step into the gym, and I'll walk, no, you step into the galley, and I'll, you know, it's like we'd, and somebody would say, well, why do you guys step out of the way? You're blocking the hole. I'll never forget our most terrifying moment. We were running silently off the shore of hostile territory when we heard it. We heard the sound that makes a submariner's blood run cold. A sound. My God. It's sonar! Sonar! Rig for silent running and brace yourself for depth charge barrage! My God! Brace yourself! Damage control, report! Damage control, report! Nothing. Maybe we can outrun him. I think we lost him. I think we. Oh God, no! They got us again. Hang on, everybody! Engine room, go to emergency power. Auxiliary power immediately! Hang on, tight. Rig floodgates for that. Hang on, just. I think we...
What's wrong, man?
I think we lost him. You all right?
I'm hanging in here.
All right, just... I'll tell you what we'll do. We got to make a decision whether we're going to go to full power and get out of here or see if we've lost the destroyer. Tell you what. Up scope. Dex, do me a favor. Take a look through that scope and tell me what you see.
Enemy's two destroyers, 500 yards away. Fire tubes, one and two.
My God, no, we can't fire tubes, one and two. 500 yards away, the destroyer's too far. It's wasting the government's money. My God. Let's really get a little closer. I want to get a little closer. I don't want to miss this thing. I don't want to miss it. All right. Dex, take another look through the periscope. Tell me what you see.
Gee whiz, Grease, I just don't know. I tell you, enemy destroyer, 100 yards away, fire tubes, one and two.
No, we can't fire tubes. What, it's 100 yards away? That's too far. That's wasting the government's money. There's no way. No way we're going to do this. Wait. Let's just wait. I know you're sweating it out. I know it's... just wait. He gets
Gee
a little...
Whiz,
I know. All right. Give me a second. Tell me what you see.
I tell you what, Grease. Enemy destroyer 50 feet away. Five tubs and one and two. And change the damn thing to me.
Yeah, buddy!
Welcome to Sports Rap, brought to you by Miller Lite, with your host, Mr. Baseball.
Like that. Well, first of all, I am as corny as Kansas in August, high as the flag on the 4th of July. Funny, it seems, but of all of my dreams, I'm in love. You hear that, buddy? I'm in love.
I don't care.
Well, I don't think you would care.
I see your eye in my bomb base. Just because I break wind don't mean I'm flirting with you. Keep that in mind, you immunosuppressed maggot. Get away from me. Get away. Get away. Get away. Get away from me. I hate the way that look. Hey, you want to look at something? Look at this shit. But no touchy. Hey, yeah, hey, you dream of that, don't you? I can tell you. Hey, look at it. Look at it. You'll never know. You'll never know the flavor.
I don't care.
Well, I bet you do, though. Secretly, secretly, you wish. Secretly, you wish you could have a session dish, but you can't because it belongs to my little bish. Yeah, so back off, eh? Back off. Back off, Boogaloo. Yeah, let me see. What should we do? All right. Yeah. All right, tell you what we'll do. If there's that much insistence. Jesus, like. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll do the echo chamber. That'll be the next one. I'll do that shortly after, right around 9:30. But I got to do story time because, I, you know, Pop's been on my mind. Well, you see, when I was a little kid, I'd get under the covers. I'd say, Dad! Pop! Hey, Pop! He'd come in the room and say, what is it, son? I'd say, Dad, would you tell me your story so I can go to sleep? He'd say, sure. And he'd sit on the edge of the bed and he'd brush my little hair out of the way. And well, I remember one story he told me that particularly gripped my heart. He said, once upon a time, there was this lady who loved to play the lottery. And every day, she'd give her husband the money for a lottery ticket, give him a number, and send him off to work with a bag of lunch. Well, the guy's thinking to himself, this is ridiculous. The odds are astronomically against me winning the lottery. So he'd buy himself a pack of cigarettes and a couple of jelly donuts with that money. Well, this went on for about 10 years. It was a pretty good arrangement because he was getting away with extra money, extra jelly donuts. Of course, you know, every day he'd cackle as his wife read the newspaper, you know, trying to match eight numbers. He figured, what is that, about 10 million to one, 2 billion to one? Well, one day he's at work, about 15 years after they've been doing this, and his wife calls him up on the phone all excited. Honey, it's unbelievable. Did you check the paper this morning? That number I gave you yesterday, we hit the lottery and nobody else did. That means we won $497,000. I can't wait. I'm fixing a big dinner. I'll buy the champagne now. I'll see you when you get home. I love you. Bye-bye. The guy stares at the phone in his hand for a second. Quietly stands up from his desk, throws his head back and yells,
oh, no!
Well, he finishes the rest of his work day in kind of a trance. He goes home. His wife is already effervescing at the door. Honey, do you think we really should do dinner? You know, I've been thinking, I've always wanted the Jaguar. I tell you what, I could go to the Jaguar dealer and pick out the car we want. I mean, we got 490. I want all the options on it. Thinking, oh, by the way, I know you've always wanted the yacht, okay? Even though I picked the wing and number and I've been giving you the money for the ticket, you can buy your yacht. So I tell you what we'll do. Rather than, you know, me chopping at the bit while you're looking at your yacht. Oh, I can't even talk. I'm so excited. While me chopping at your bit looking at, while you're looking at the yacht and you chopping at the bit, why don't I go to the Jaguar dealership and you go to the yacht dealership? The guy can't bring himself to tell her. He says, honey, relax. Let's have dinner. We'll talk about what we're going to do in the morning. Well, all through dinner, she's like, jabba, 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 jabba. We'll throw out that old straddle lounger. Get a brand new. Finally, they get ready for bed. And about 11 o'clock, they get under the covers, naked. Turn out the lights. Pull the covers up to their chin. The wife says, you know something, honey? You've been pretty unexcited. I've been doing a little talking tonight. I mean, you know, $497,000. I mean, like. He said, honey, I have a confession to make. And I hope you'll hear me out on this. And as they're lying there in the darkness, the husband says, you know, every day you've been giving me that money. And every day for the last 15 years, I thought the odds were so against us, honey, that I've been buying a pack of cigarettes and three jelly donuts with the money. And I. Today, yesterday, day before, 15 years. I never once bought a lottery ticket. So I guess you figured out by now, we don't have any $497,000. His wife doesn't say anything, but as they lay there in the darkness, the man can hear her
deep and rhythmical breathing. Finally, he says to her, "Honey?" She said, "Yes." He said, "I guess a little gob of the ghee'd be out of the question before we go to sleep, huh?" "Well, all right, I thought so. I just wanted to ask it anyway."
"It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood."
"Like this, like you come from New Jersey, right? You should probably talk like, but I want to, let's do something a little different. Let's try to, if you could say, this is for all the girls here, and like an Idaho farm boy would say it, you know, like an aw shucks kind of guy. I know it's ridiculous, really, I know you're coming from, but if you could say it in that kind of like, accent, I don't know, I think it might be wacky. So what do you think? I mean, the crowd's waiting, why don't you, you know, be as hicky as possible on this thing.
For all the girls here."
That was great. That's too much. 3 a.m. to be exact. Full body massage. Preceded, of course, by a zesty session. She said, "Flip, baby, flip," and I flip over and I felt my face bury into that feather pillow. She climbed aboard my tuchus and gave me a knuckle job. You ever had that right on your back? She made two fists and started digging those knuckles into my lats. Oh, man. I then played them on both sides of the spinal column. Oh, it was shoot-ish. Oh, yeah, but, and then she kneaded her knuckles into my rope-like trapezius muscles. Ah, yeah, that shit, the back of my neck. Oh, God, oh, God. Knuckles everywhere. Oh, and then the thumbs. Oh, man, the thumbs. Across my cannonball-sized delts. Yeah, all the way down to my sack row, really, yeah. I was really just getting into it when I said, "Uh-oh." She said, "What do you mean, uh-oh?" As she perched precariously there at ground zero. I said, "Baby, I hate to do this, but I think I got to break some wind. You better scoot." She said, "We can't have this every morning. I try to give you a massage and every morning and chat with your image."
You go fishtailing off the shoulder of the road in hot pursuit, dude. Well, you pull the maggot over and you can't believe your eyes as you sit there.
I have my favorite cowboy hat and put it over my... I said, "No, not my favorite cowboy hat. Yeah, take it off there." Well, she took it off, but she switched it with the yarmulke I got at Herbie Hirschberg's bar mitzvah. I said, "No!" Took off like a flying saucer. I'm sorry, Herbie. I meant to save that as a souvenir, and I might have been able to salvage it, but unfortunately, it suffered further indignity. Yes, the maid found it singed like that, thought it was a tortilla. I caught her eating it full of chopped meat. I'm sorry.
The Grease Man, TC 101.
You could probably do something really funny.
Really? Where'd she meet him?
Where'd you meet Tony?
All right, put her on. Let me get the details.
Hold on.
Quickly. Crying out loud. Hello?
Hi.
So you married your Latin lover?
I did.
Where's he from?
I got him and I married him.
Where's he from?
He's from Nicaragua.
Well, he's not Spanish then. He's Nicaraguan. He's South American.
My sister's not real bright.
How old is your sister?
My sister is 24.
24 years old, and she refers to a man from Nicaragua as a Spanish guy.
That's right.
Spain's in Europe.
This is true. She's not sure where Europe is. She thought it was part of South America.
Put your sister back on.
What's that?
Put your sister back on.
Okay. Hi.
Little honey.
Yes.
He's not a Spanish guy. He's from Nicaragua.
Oh, I'm sorry, but isn't that the same thing?
No, it's not the same thing. You can't lump everybody that speaks the language Spanish into a Spanish. I mean, if all the people that spoke Spanish were in Spain, the place would be exploding.
Well, what is he?
He's a Nicaraguan.
Well, what? I mean...
I mean, would you like it if someone referred to you as an Englishman?
Well, I'm an Irish woman.
Just because you speak English? You're an American, for crying out loud.
Give you to Mary?
Huh?
You said you want to talk to Mary?
No, I want to talk to you. My God, 24 years of age, woman. Get a grip on yourself. Where is Nicaragua located, do you think?
Where
is Nicaragua located?
Where's it located? It's located in South America.
Where in South America?
Central America.
All right.
Capital is Managua.
All right, you're doing very well.
Thank you.
You're doing very well.
Thank you.
What language do they speak in Brazil?
In Brazil, French, maybe?
Oh,
We have so many maggots. We have so many maggots. We have so many maggots. We have maggots on the line. We have so many maggots. We have so many maggots. We have so many maggots. We have maggots on the line.
Keep this chilling thought in mind. She will one day be a mother.
We have so many maggots. We have so many maggots. We have so many maggots. We have maggots on the line. Let's sing the maggot theme song.
The Grease Man, DC 101.
Supporting fudge packing.
Why is that?
Because as much as you are, you know, going on about AIDS and
really, I'm a big campaigner to fight to stamp out AIDS.
Right, a big campaign to stamp out AIDS, but you don't know that for your wife or these girls out here, you don't know that that doesn't cause AIDS.
That does not cause AIDS. It's been determined that the actual act itself does not cause AIDS. What causes AIDS is a virus.
A virus, but a virus that comes from...
No, it doesn't come from that. The virus comes from, they're guessing it comes from Africa and the monkeys carried it originally. It does not come from fudge packing. If that were the case, Aristotle would never have lived to be 90. And Ned Beatty would be a lot thinner.
It's inventory rich.
Outside the place from high-tech fitness and burly men will schlep in that multi-work bench. I'm talking that dip bench. I'm talking, God. Watch out for those curls. Watch out for those calf machines. I think I'm going to do a home gym with real equipment thanks to high-tech fitness where they make it themselves so they can sell it for less. Not the chintzy stuff you see in the department stores, but the real stuff, real iron. I can't wait to do some behind-the-neck pull-ups. Oh, God. I've soundproofed the room so that the neighbors will not hear my screams because some people, they work out until they feel the first sensations of pain. Some people work out until it burns. Some people work out until their veins are bulging and their teeth are gnashing. I work out all the way to... Which means that occasionally I will bellow. I'll bellow. So, there's some things I have to do before Tuesday to get the room ready. But if you're thinking about working out, why not do it at home? You know, for the price of a membership in a health club, you and your honey can have a workout set in your own home, a real one, a professional one, that you could use to work out that'll last a lifetime, that's made heavy duty. It's the kind of stuff the gyms, just where the gyms buy their stuff at high-tech fitness. That's where football teams outfit their football in high-tech fitness. That's where anybody that wants to do anything with his body goes. High-tech fitness, not only for the weights, though. We're talking like universal sets in case you have minimal space. You throw one of these universal work things in there and you can pump it. You can pump it even if you got you a little stinking efficiency apartment. Man, oh, man. Oh, you swing your legs over the bed, your head pounding. I rinse my mouth out with flat beer and spit it into the cat box and walk to the bathroom with my guts grumbling, huh? And you think I got it made? Yes, I do have it made. But let me tell you, it's not without its price. It's not without it. Many's the time I've made that crawl to the bathroom on my knees. Belching and bilious. Sometimes I throw myself into the shower. I don't even get in the shower. I just throw myself in there and just reach up, turn on the water, and lie there with my pajamas soaking wet. Never. I've got so far as to soap my underarms and realize, geez, I'm still in my pajamas. I mean, what the hell's going on here? Oh, you feel like a fool. Not as bad as when you take a constitutional and realize you're still wearing your pajamas. Now, that was very humiliating. Oh, man. Yeah, I threw out the pajamas rather than explain to the maid my difficulties. She thinks we're crazy anyway. Crazy? Gringos, caramba. Taking a constitutional in your pajamas, what's wrong with you? One time I shot an elephant in my pajamas. What he was doing there, I'll never know. She doesn't laugh at jokes like that. Anyway, God, what was I talking? Oh, I know.
I mean, you never know what that man's gonna do. And that's the thing. That's the kind of thing that'll make you nervous. Like one time, Daddy and me, we was having some snacks. And we went to this restaurant because we both had a powerful hunger on it. And Daddy said, well, let me see, as he's giving this waiter the order. Daddy said, I'd like the salad bar, and I'll have a steak rare. And I looked at the menu, I said, I'll have the salad bar too, and Daddy kicked me under the table and said, the boy ain't gonna have the salad bar. I said, well, I'll have a steak medium then. The waiter went swishing away. I said, Daddy, why'd you kick me when I said I'll have the salad bar? He said, you crazy boy, we both pay for the same thing. I'll go up in the salad bar, what the hell? I'll just get you two plates. I said, but Daddy, you're supposed to pay if you're going to have the... He said, come on, boy. They ain't going to miss it. So Daddy goes walking up to the salad bar and fills two plates. Loads him up high, goes walking back and slides one in front of me. Well, the waiter comes back with our drinks. And he says, sir, I'm sorry, but... this young man is going to have the salad bar, he's going to pay for it. And Daddy said, now, wait a minute, I'm paying for it. And the waiter said,
I don't care.
You both have to pay for it. I can see Daddy getting red. I said, Daddy, don't make a big deal out of it. I'll pay for it. He said, oh, well, let me see if I'm understanding this waiter here. Daddy got up and noisily walked over to the salad bar. He said, you mean if I'm going to have some of this lettuce here? And then he started to sneeze. Lettuce went flying everywhere. He said, now, if I'm going to get some of this lettuce from the boy, he's going to, and the waiter's going, sir, that was disgusting. Then Daddy walked over in front a little farther down the line, and he stopped in front of the bacon bits. He said, now, you mean to tell me that if I get some of that lettuce and some of these, and their bacon bits went flying. My God, sir, you're ruining our salad bar. And all the other diners are becoming increasingly grossed out. People are dropping plates and running back to their table. Daddy said, I want to get you right now because I don't want to violate the policy of this restaurant. If I'm going to give my boy some of this salad dressing here, that means dressing went flying everywhere. The waiter said, all right, stop it, you're ruining everything. You can both have the salad bar for the price of one. And then he went running into the kitchen in tears. And Daddy said, you see, boy, you've got to know how to have a little diplomacy. I said, well, I went up there and I looked at the salad dressings to put on my salad. I said, gee, Daddy, now you kind of grossed me out, as a matter of fact. I don't know which one of these to put on my salad. He said, boy, ladle out some blue cheese. Hell, that was lumpy to begin with.
The Grease Man. On DC-101.
I hope the story didn't offend you.
I don't care.
Well, all right, then. It's all right.
For many years, I spent as a paramedic riding that ambulance, high-speed driving. I mean, oh, Nelly. Anyway, stand by for details. I'll do that for you, right after this. It's 8 minutes before 10.
One-on-one with the action.
That's the thing. I didn't like being a doctor.
You know, by the time you saw the patient, he was neatly draped, shaved for surgery, prepared, comfortably under anesthesia. You'd walk in all gloved and draped. Nah, I like being a paramedic better. Because you get there while you're still splattered, eh? You wade through the hamburger on the highway and decide which ones to leave, which ones must die. Triage! I remember one day we were sitting around the firehouse telling jokes, see who could belch the loudest. But all of a sudden a call came in. Cardiac red, 109 North Lauman Boulevard. I said, hit the truck, yeah! We jumped inside, we fired up that ambulance. I said, cardiac red, my God, hit it! Well, I got from headquarters the telephone number of the residents that had called in, and I made contact through our telephone we had in the ambulance. Lady answers the phone. Ma'am, is this the lady that called in the cardiac red? She said, rather, yes, my husband just has had a heart attack. I said, well, we're on the way. We should be there in about 4 minutes. It's imperative that you turn him over, open his collar, establish an airway, and begin breathing for him. She said, well, I can't. He was shoveling snow in the driveway, and he's lying in a snowbank. I said, ma'am, get out there immediately and flip him. She said, but I'm in my bathrobe and slippers. I said, the man has been going to be suffering brain damage. She said, but I might get pneumonia. I said, for crying out loud, will you put your shoes on and go out there? Never mind, we're almost there. We came around that corner. I said, my God, it's going to be a tough one. Jumped out of that ambulance, and there she was still standing on the doormat, putting a tentative toe into the snow. I said, never mind, lady! We flipped him over. We got the breathing device out of her. I said, get BP. Start an immediate IV drip. Let's get that. Let's get some blood pressure on this guy. All right, let's defibrillate him. Everybody clear. We threw him in the back of the truck. I looked up at the porch to yell something to his wife. She wasn't there. The door was open. I went inside. I said, lady! Some papers for you to sign just in case the hospital has to operate. She said, I'm taking a bath. I said, for crying out loud, I need these papers. She said, leave them on the table. I'll forward them when I'm done. For crying out loud. I said, lady, the hospital gets its pathology reports at 2 p.m. every day. Then from his doctors and from the pathologist what the story is on your husband, okay? She said, what? I'm running the water. I said, turn off the water! I'll call you at exactly 2 o'clock, all right? She said, all right. Thanks for coming. I said, don't mention it. We got back in the ambulance, and we were like, yeah. This guy is, you know. I looked at my watch. I figured we stood a chance with him, but everybody was waiting for us when we got to the ER. We slung him in there, and I nervously lit a Camel as I stood outside the door. Finally, the doctor came out, dejectedly pulled down his mask, and said, we tried everything we could. It was a massive heart attack. I mean, the guy had more sludge in his veins. I thought, well, you did your best, and so did we. Sometimes you lose them. I sat down, and I felt that sorrow we always feel when we lose somebody we worked hard for. I looked at my watch and thought, oh, geez, it's almost 2. I waited till exactly 2 o'clock. I dialed that lady's number. The answer machine was on. I heard something like, hello, we can't come to the phone now, but if you'd be kind enough to leave your name and number and the time you called, we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Please leave it at the beep. Boop. I said, hey, lady, for crying out loud, this is the paramedic. Lady, hello. Your husband's on a slab, lady. I hate to leave this kind of news on an answer machine, but he's toe-tagged down at the... We tried it. We did our best, but he's slabville bound. Yeah. And if you want any other information, you can call a hospital. My number is... And just then the phone picked up. Hello? I said, lady, I told you I was going to call it too. What's with the answer machine? And why didn't you pick up when you heard it was me? She said, well, I was waiting for a commercial. I said,
It's the Greaseman Show.